Good morning and welcome to Community Conversations. This is a show that's not unlike the morning show, but it's not a replacement for it either. We were missing the morning show here at KRFY, and we know some of our listeners were too. So we've begun recording these podcasts here to play each Tuesday. These are recorded shows to be played here on KRFY 88.5 FM on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This is an interim show. We're not sure when the Monday morning show will be, or the morning show will be back. But we continue to bring you voices from our community with interests of topical, current interest, as well as those voices we don't hear from as often. We are using new technology, new to us anyway, to record these via Zoom. And so please bear with us if there's any glitches or glips in the conversation due to a quick internet blip. So with that in mind, I'm Phil Huff, one of your morning show hosts, and I'm joined today by my usual co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil.
And would you like to introduce today's guests?
I'm ready, willing, and able to introduce our morning guests, and it's a bunch, so bear with us. We've got a topic today that is local opportunities for outdoor recreation during the time of COVID, and for us that means hanging around town, not leaving for the day, et cetera, not leaving more than overnight. And we thought it would be fun to have a topic around what you can do in a day or a half of a day here around Sandpoint. With that in mind, we've invited a hiking person, and I'll introduce him, a local hiker, Herbert Klein, who heads up Monday Hikers. He's a volunteer with them, and he also is a board member for the Idaho Trails Association. Hello, Herbert. Herbert, you say hello now.
Okay, sorry, Judy, I missed that. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and that's all I need. I just want to hear your voice, just your voice for now. And again, listeners, bear with the little glitches that we have via the remote connections. And then additionally, I'm going to introduce bicycle community folks. And the first would be Mel Dick. Mel, you've been very involved with the Chafe 150. Hello, Mel.
Good morning, Julie.
Hello. And next person is Charles Mortensen. And Charles, you are involved with all kinds of things, bicycling, the three-quarter minus cycle tour. I know you're involved in the Chafe at times. You're a bicycle shop owner. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Hi, Charles. And finally, a new voice for the morning show, and it's Jason Welker. And Jason, you are the relatively newly hired executive director for the Pondere Peddlers. Hello, Jason.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
We got a lot of stuff.
Thanks for
a lot of stuff to cover today. It's going to be like herding cats, sort of, right, Julie?
Yes, cats or bicyclers. I'm not sure which one's going to be worse. And on that note, we're going to start with a hiker. It'll make it easier, make our job easier for now, Phil. So we're going to begin with you, Herbert, and have you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved with hiking here in the Sandpoint area and involved with the Monday Hikers and also with the Idaho Trails Association.
Yeah, sure, Judy, be glad to. So, I moved to Sandpoint about 11 years ago from Denver, Colorado. Retired from a career in enterprise software about 2 years ago, which, you know, fortunately leaves me with a lot more time to do really important stuff like hiking and getting out there and enjoying our great outdoors that we have here. So, as Julie mentioned, I'm involved on the board of the Idaho Trails Association, which has been a great exposure to kind of the broader hiking trails in Idaho, not just in our part of the world, but that's been great. And then, yeah, also involved in a local hiking group we have here in town, the Monday Hikers, which pretty much head out, every week, come rain or shine, pretty much every week the whole year. So, yeah, just, really enjoy and thankful for the many opportunities that we have to hike and recreate in our area.
And spring is fast upon us, shifting to summer real quickly. We're pre-recording this, and the day we're recording this, at least, it's certainly started to warm up, which everyone's thoughts are now turning to trails. Tell us a little bit about some of the opportunities that are out there for hikers.
Yeah, sure, Paul. on my side, I'm predominantly kind of, you know, what I would call a day hiker, right? So, you know, sort of a couple of hours, or sometimes the longer trips are a full day, but all really within, you know, I'd say an hour or two's drive of Sandpoint. And I think most people would be really pleasantly surprised in terms of just understanding the breadth and vast hiking opportunities we have that are really close to Sandpoint. I mean, I think we're really fortunate, really lucky to live in this area and have just that, you know, myriad of opportunities available to us. So, you know, one thing I thought I would do is maybe just rather than, you know, talk about a whole range of trails is maybe just give sort of three examples of some local trails. And I thought I'd just break them up into kind of, you know, easy, moderate and hard. So cater for all the different groups out there. But on the easy side, and this is also a trail that's super close to town, is the Pine Street Woods complex. So this was fairly recently developed by the Kiniksu Land Trust, and they managed to acquire some additional property and have a number of easements. And it's a great area. As I said, it's very close to town. There's a number of different hiking trails, certainly caters for all abilities, right? Even people that are, you know, physically disabled, they've got some, you know, walking paths that are wheelchair accessible. They've got great opportunities for kids. And as I said, a number of different hiking trails that they've built through that area. And great trails. I mean, really close to town. You know, when you walk through the forest there, you could be, you know, literally anywhere. And then once you get up onto the ridges, you have great views of the lake, of the town. So really good opportunity, as I said, close to town. And there's actually an adjacent trail called Sherwood Forest, which you can access from Pine Street Woods, that's got a number of sort of hidden artworks. So literally while you're walking along this trail, there's about, I think, 20 to 25, you know, some really great pieces of art that are almost hidden in the forest. So it's almost like a, you know, exploratory, you know, treasure hunt as well, which is really fun. So that's one I'd recommend for, you know, people starting out and really close to town. On the kind of intermediate side, or sort of, you know, a medium hike is again pretty close to town. It's the Mineral Point Lost Lake hikes that are, you know, pretty close to Garfield Bay. So again, within like 30 minutes drive from Sandpoint. And you know, Phil just mentioned that it's spring and it's warming up. I mean, we actually did that hike last week. Fantastic wildflowers at the moment. I mean, it's just a super, super pretty hike. And you know, once you get up onto the ridges, you get great views of the lake. You can see the Monarch Range, and you can see, you know, a big portion of the Cabinet Mountain Range as well. So, you know, super scenic hike, you know, trails in great condition, pretty easy. And actually for the mineral point component, the trail actually pretty much goes down the hill and ends up on this great beach right on the lake. And that's right near the Camp Bay campground at the bottom there. So, you know, super scenic hike, pretty easy to do. And then, you know, some of the other ones, the Lost Lake loop starts in the same area, kind of the similar trailhead. And again, I mean, you know, great sort of cedar groves. There's a couple of little, you know, sort of lakes and ponds along the way, and great view. So that's one I would really recommend that, you know, caters again for a lot of different constituencies. And then on the, you know, on the more strenuous side, and Phil, I know you're obviously, you know, intimately familiar with this, is Scotchman's Peak, right? And Scotchman's Peak is, it's the tallest peak in Bonner County. I think, Phil, correct me, but I think it's just slightly over 7,000 feet. And that's it's a really fantastic hike. I mean, it's pretty much a full day hike because it's a bit of a drive out there. But it's about 8.8 miles round trip. 3,700 feet of elevation gain, and super pretty hike. I mean, that's quite a climb, but the, you know, once you make it to the top and the views you get from up there are certainly worth the climb in getting up there. And, you know, certainly being the highest point in the county gives you a lot of elevation to take in some of the views. And then just, you know, Phil again mentioned summer. One thing I would mention about Scotchman's Peak, I mean, it is a longer hike and fair bit of elevation gain, so that's a hike where you want to make sure that you have enough water with you, because there's no real sources of water on the trail going up, especially in the middle of summer. So you know, make sure you carry enough with you on the way up there. So those are just, I think, three sort of quick examples of hikes in our area and that are, you know, super accessible for everybody.
A quick a word on Scotchman Peak is it's still really late winter season there, so folks going should be prepared for over the snow travel and have good navigational skills and practice safety and caution around those cornices, please.
Yeah, Paul, that's a great point. I mean, it's...
Oh, sorry, Herbert. We're working with our technology, of course, but I was just going to interject that two of your three hikes you've mentioned are hikes that can also be bikes, which I thought was really interesting, and really a nice range of kind of beginner to intermediate to advanced. And then the final comment I'll add is that having made friends in the Sandpoint community, it's amazing how many people have not been to one, either a Mineral Point or Scotchman's Peak yet. And so while those of us having the interview might be thinking, well, everyone knows these hikes, it really is not true. They're new to many people. Yes. Oh, and then Herbert, I've got a question for you. Because you're helping out with the Monday Hikers, and additionally, you'll be helping with the Idaho Trails Association at some point, have you made any special arrangements for COVID? Are you doing anything differently?
Yeah, Julie, you know, what we've done is essentially just follow the Idaho governor's guidelines, right? So, you know, when we were in phase one, we essentially suspended hiking and didn't do any sort of group hiking activities out there. People were just hiking on their own. But, you know, once phase two kicked in, what we've done is We just hike in far smaller groups, right? So, you know, when we get a number of people, we'll break into like three smaller groups of less than 10 people and hike that way. And we make sure there's no ride sharing. So pretty much everyone drives themselves to the trailhead. And then once there, we, you know, we practice all of the common sense social distancing guidelines, right? So, you know, generally when you're out on the trail, you're pretty well spread out and, you know, out in the fresh air. So, you know, I think you've kind of naturally spread out, but that's what we've done. And I think, you know, with phase three hopefully kicking in here next week, I think that allows groups of less than 50 people. I mean, we're essentially a lot less than that, but, you know, I think we'll still be careful with, you know, sharing vehicles and ride sharing and probably still practice a lot of the social distancing guidelines that are in place. So that's what we've done, and it seems to have worked very well. And people have bought into that as well.
So before we turn to our next topic of biking, and we can do some recapping at the end, all of the trails, and we'll ask this too of our mountain biking friends, need some loving care from time to time. Tell us a little bit about the role Idaho Trails Association plays in that and how people can become engaged and help.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. I mean, that's you know, there's really fantastic opportunities to get involved in some, you know, the hiking and volunteer organizations. As Phil mentioned, you know, the Idaho Trails Association is really a volunteer group that augments what the Forest Service does. And it really basically promotes the conservation and enjoyment of trails in Idaho. And, you know, Idaho is over 10,000 miles of hiking trails. And, you know, in terms of ITA, I mean, there's all kinds of different volunteer opportunities, right? For the, you know, for the more adventurous, there are these week-long trips in the wilderness where we'll go and do trail maintenance and do surveys of trails. And those are super fun. I mean, I got to go on one of those last year in the Gospel Hump Wilderness area, where we actually we went up in a jet boat outside of Riggins and went up the Salmon River and got dumped onto this sandbank where we camped and had a great time for a week. And some of the trips actually are fly-ins. We have these smaller bush planes that will actually fly crews into the Frank Church Wilderness. And why I mention those two, I mean, it's a way to see parts of Idaho that very, very few people ever see. And, you know, unless you want to hike in kind of 50 miles on foot, it's, you know, you wouldn't get there in a hurry. So some great opportunities to see, you know, fantastic wilderness areas and then do some good at the same time. And then, you know, I'd be remiss in mentioning, you know, those are the sort of extreme examples, but there's lots of opportunities to you know, day volunteer projects where we'll go out and do trail maintenance and trail surveys. And, you know, COVID's you know, some of these activities have been suspended for a while, but our summer schedule should be coming out in the next few weeks. So if anyone's interested in volunteering or seeing what that's about, if you go to IdahoTrailsAssociation.org, you'll see our trail schedule will be published there. And there's certainly opportunities for people who want to sign up and get involved. And including, there'll be a number of opportunities up here in North Idaho and the Sandpoint area as well.
Very good. Well, Herbert Klein, Monday Hikers volunteer and organizer, and also Idaho Trails Association board member. I want to thank you, Herbert, for joining us today and telling us about some fun hiking opportunities for people in the area. And we're going to conclude the hiking portion and move on to biking. And this is going to get exciting because we've got three folks from various areas in the biking world. And I'm not even sure how to start, but I think the way we'll do it is to just ask each of you to tell us a bit about yourselves, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and how you got involved with the biking world. Let's start with you, Mel. Mel Dick of Chafe 150.
Thank you, Julie. Well, like Herbert, we moved here full-time in 2002. Prior to that, we had lived in Denver. So Herbert and I go back some as it relates to that. We're both involved with the Chafe 150 bike ride that's put on by the Sandpoint Rotary Club. And my background is I moved here, went to work for a local company and retired in 2008. After 30 some years in the corporate world, went on a 10,000 mile bike tour around the United States, and have been pretty involved with biking ever since, mostly on touring biking or road biking. I'm not much into the mountain biking, although I do have a mountain bike, and I am currently training to embark on about a 5,000 mile bike tour later this summer. That'll be my bike, my tent, and a lot of extreme social distancing on back roads.
Oh boy, that could be an entire show in itself, but we won't be able to do that today. So let's talk about what you might think about for touring road biking in the area. Let's talk about what might be interesting here.
Well, you know, as Herbert said, we're fortunate to live in Northern Idaho. A lot of hiking and a lot of biking, tremendous. And again, I'm not a mountain bike rider, so I'll let the others speak to that. But there's great mountain biking here. And then there's, if you encompass Northern Idaho, Western Washington, and Eastern Washington, there's great road cycling here as well. The scenery is great. You can get off the beaten path and get on some nice country paved roads, if you will. Some of my favorite rides, I just got done about an hour ago riding to up to the village in Schweitzer and coming back. That's one of my favorite training rides for hills. I love to ride over into Eastern Washington, taking the Duford Road loop over to Newport. You can just a whole host of things. And then, you know, our Chafe ride. And I see my internet connection is somewhat unstable, so I hope you can hear me. But, you know, our Chafe ride is multiple routes. This year's route's only going to be two, which will be 150 and 80 miles, and we can speak about that later.
Sure. And, you know, you've really tapped into something. We are blessed where we live with a small enough amount of traffic that there's some good road biking and great mountain trails and lots of loops. And the Chafe ride is basically a tour around the Cabinet Mountains. And one of our more recent shows highlighted the Selkirk Loop, which I know some people have bike toured. And we sit at the crossroads on the panhandle of some major long distance trails, both in the hiking world, the Idaho Centennial Trail and Pacific Northwest, and in the biking world. The American Adventure Cycles Northern Route and this Scenic Route 10. Are you planning on using some of these local connectors in your longer ramblings?
Many of what you just mentioned, I do ride on. Obviously, the Chafe does the route. I'm also involved with the Wakanide ride and the organization of that ride. And, you know, that takes you through Northern Idaho, Southern British Columbia, and Eastern Washington. And it's a grand loop around the International Selkirk Loop, about 350 some miles, with a lot of side rides that you can do as well. So, you know, I think we tend to think of ourselves up here as a biking community, an awful lot of mountain biking. But the road biking and road touring up here is fantastic. Some of the best rides there are. If you ride the Bow River Valley in western Montana, which is part of the Chafe route, it is probably as scenic as anywhere you can ride in the country.
Very good. I'm a bit remiss in that my outline reads that we should be talking about biking styles, and I sort of skipped that element. So let's back up just a bit and talk about what types of biking we have in the area. And Mel, you've talked about touring and road biking. Maybe one of our other guests could share other types. So who would like to jump in on that? Charles or Jason?
I guess we could probably both add a little bit to that. As Mel said, lots of good mountain biking. In terms of mountain biking, things are really expanding recently. We're doing a lot of trail building locally, up high on the watershed, as well as down in Pine Street Woods, Syringa Heights trails. You know, there's several other areas where you can ride a mountain bike, Mineral Point, Gold Hill, up in Bonner's Ferry. There's a bunch of new trail networks up there. There's a lot of high mountain alpine rides that you can do all over the region here. We have a lot of, you know, road biking, as Mel said, but there's also gravel riding, which is really kind of getting really popular these days, which is essentially road bikes with knobby tires and slightly different geometry, but bikes that can ride on gravel, dirt, trails, single track, as well as paved roads, so you can kind of go all over the place. It's kind of a one quiver type bike. Yeah, and there's plenty of gravel roads or bad paved roads around here that are good for that kind of bike. I don't know, anything else to add, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the more exciting developments in the biking community here in the last year has been the addition of winter single track fat biking. So anybody, I'm sure people have an idea of what a fat bike is, because it is exactly what it looks like. I mean, it looks like exactly as it's named. It's a mountain bike with extremely fat tires, up to 5 inches. And they're very popular in Sandpoint now. A lot of people buy them just to ride the slushy and icy roads of town in the winter. And you used to, you know, take them up to Schweitzer and ride the cross-country ski trails. But last year, the Ponderay Peddlers did a fundraiser, and we partnered with Kinixu Land Trust to actually groom single track fat biking trails in Pine Street Woods last winter. And we started with about a 2.5 mile network with two different loops. And that proved to be very exciting. And I had never even ridden a fat bike on single track before I rode a trail that I groomed myself with our single track groomer. So we have a machine called a Snow Dog that grooms a 21 inch wide track, which is just about the width of a fairly narrow single track trail. And you get a 5-inch tire bike on that in the winter. And once it gets a little compacted, it turns into a snowy roller coaster up in the woods. And it was an absolute blast. And some trails that in the summer I might get bored with after a couple weeks of riding in this, you know, in the summer, in the winter, the trail conditions were always different depending on the snow conditions. And I never got tired of riding those two loops. And I probably logged a couple hundred miles on a 2.5 mile network of trails in Pine Street Woods this winter. So, of course, you've got mountain biking, gravel biking. We've heard about road biking and bike touring. And I would add fat biking to that as well. And this winter, we're going to continue grooming. And we hope to have another couple of loop options available this winter on some of the new single track trails that we're building in Pine Street Woods right now.
There's it seems like there's this great range of things. It's not as simple as saying it's mountain biking and road biking. When we get to the 3/4 minus cycle tour, that gravel hybrid, that's the best of or worst of both of those. And then you throw in some winter conditions that require 5-inch tires on city streets. It's hard to say which is road versus mud versus trail. From a biker's perspective, that it sounds like, at least for some folks, that's really exciting because you have all these different opportunities to experience a range of different things. The same trail or road can be a different experience depending on the season or even the condition.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Depending on the bike that you're on.
And so we got a little bit into Mel's background and reason for coming here and experiences. And so let's delve a little bit deeper into Charles yourself. I know you've been a frequent guest of the show. We always have new listeners. And go with you next. And then we want to spend a little time with Jason talking about his new position too. So give us a little background, how you came here, and what your point of entry and interest in the biking world is.
I've been here since the end of 1996, just a few days before Christmas. Big, huge snow year that year. Came here from San Francisco to work remotely for an environmental consulting that my wife and I are still employed by, actually. And we've been here ever since. We lived in Hope for a year and a half before moving into Sandpoint in 98. And then in 2014, I had this crazy idea to open up a bike shop. So that's what's taking up most of my time these days. I'm on the board of the Pondre Peddlers, which Jason is our executive director of. And how I got into biking, I've always been a recreational biker. Been mountain biking since 1987. Started road riding probably in the mid-2000s, and then gravel and cyclocross, and did a little bit of mountain bike racing and some cyclocross racing in my past. And now I just try to find the time to ride when I can get away from the shop.
Very good. Jason, tell us a little bit about your background and morph into your new position.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up all over the place in the Midwest and overseas for a while, but settled in Seattle for college, where I met my now wife, who grew up in North Idaho in the Coeur d'Alene area. So we ended up in Spokane for graduate school in 2002. And at that time, we skied a lot at Schweitzer for a couple winters. And before we took our first real jobs, which ended up being international teaching jobs, we decided that we wanted roots in the Sandpoint area. So we bought one of the oldest cabins up on Schweitzer back in 2004. So we spent 13 years as international teachers. I'm actually an economics teacher by training, and I still do some online teaching and content creation when I'm not building trails and riding my bike or skiing. And 3 years ago, we left 9 years in Switzerland behind and settled in Sandpoint up at our cabin, where we lived for the first year. Having a 5, now 7-year-old daughter commuting to school daily turned out to be more than I bargained for. So 2 years ago, we sold our cabin and moved down to town. So we now live in Sandpoint proper, but we consider ourselves mountain people at hearts. We owned our cabin for 15 years and we now have a condo up there. So we spend pretty much all winter on the mountain, where my other job is the business administrator for the Schweitzer Alpine Racing School. So I work on the mountain most of the winter. And now for the last couple of months, I have the privilege of working on trails and organizing bike camps and mountain bike rides and races and group trail work parties and things like that. So I somehow my life has landed in the place where I can do the two things I love year round, support and advocate for mountain biking and support a ski program in the winter. So that's kind of my story. I have a daughter who is getting into mountain biking and is in her third season as a ski racer as well. So we're really happy where we are, although we feel privileged to have had a really exciting international career before settling here 3 years ago.
This is an exciting opportunity for the Pondre Peddlers. This is the first executive director, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. So you get to define the job in part anyway.
Yeah, sort of. You know, it's been an amazing organization since 2004 when the club was formed. But during that time, it's been an all-volunteer organization. And the board members like Charles and our recently retired president, Mike Murray, have just put in amazing contributions to the trail community here in Sandpoint and provided so much benefit, not just to mountain bikers, but to hikers and trail runners and other users of our trails as well. There have been some new opportunities for trails in and around Sandpoint. And I think with the opportunities that we see ahead of us, the decision was made by our board that a paid staff person would help us really move into the future of trail development in Sandpoint. And that's when I had the privilege of stepping up and assuming this position as executive director. So there are lots of things to look forward to in the trail development realm here in Sandpoint in the next few years. And I'm excited to be a part of that.
Well, good. Jason, maybe you can tell us about one or two of them and how the COVID pandemic has altered plans or methods of doing bicycling activities for the Pendere peddlers this year.
Yeah, sure. Well, I started this job officially on April 1st, but I was previously the vice president and I was doing a lot of the work in the months before I became officially a staff person. So we had lots of plans for activities this spring that were altered because of the pandemic. Of course, we planned to start our club meetings back in March, and we were going to have weekly trail work parties starting in April and group rides every Tuesday starting in April. And all of that got postponed. But now that we're in phase two, we have started just in the last 2 weeks, Tuesday night group mountain bike rides, which one of our board members, Steve Sanchez, leads and largely organizes. And those are great family-friendly rides for riders of most ability levels. They are currently riding at the Greta's Segway Trailhead on West Pine at 5:30 on every Tuesday evening. And the typical ride is 5 to 7 miles. I believe next week they're going to be meeting at the Dover, at Dish at Dover Bay to start and finish the ride. And they're going to call it Taco Tuesday Rides. So anybody who's interested in sort of an intermediate, easy, not too long, not too intense group ride, Tuesdays, 5:30. And information about that is on our website, PendrePeddlers.org. And we have weekly events on Facebook as well. So if you're on Facebook, you can find us there and learn about those. We have resumed those group rides because they typically are less than 10 people. We've also resumed trail work parties as of 2 weeks ago. Those are Thursday nights. And for the next 10 weeks, most likely, we're going to be doing every Thursday's trail work party will be in Pine Street Woods. The peddlers are super excited to be collaborating with Kinnexu Land Trust to help and support build out their single track trail network. They have plans for about 4 miles of new narrow trails in Pine Street Woods, a perimeter trail that we're building in phases. And in fact, phase one is just being wrapped up right now. And this week's trail work party is to put finishing touches on the first phase of the new perimeter trail. So that's another opportunity for people to get out and get involved in the, not so much the mountain biking or riding world, but in the trail construction. And we really invite hikers and runners, any trail users to come join those trail work parties. The more people we have, the quicker we'll get the network of trails right on the edge of town completed. And we can all start to enjoy miles of new hiking and biking trails right on the edge of town. As far as safe trail usage, one of the first things I did as the, actually before I started the job as director, was to get information up on the Pendere Peddlers website about responsible and safe use in the era of COVID-19. So I'm on the newsletter of the International Mountain Biking Association. And back in March, I think I got the first, responsible trail message from IMBA. So we adapted that for the local community and put that up onto our website. So if you go to our website now, right near the top of the page is a link to a page about safe and responsible trail use. And of course, it's the things we're all used to now, social distancing, stepping off the trail, yielding to uphill traffic, all the things that are kind of common sense courtesy for trail users. They're just more important than ever now to make sure that we're not, you know, putting each other's health at risk, not just our safety, but our health as well. So we've communicated responsible trail guidelines to our community. And we've adapted our schedule to the state's stay-at-home orders. We are really excited that we're going to be able to host our first full club meeting. I shouldn't say full club, but our first open club meeting on June 3rd, since gatherings of up to 50 are allowed. So we'll be hosting our monthly club meetings from June through November at Matchwood Brewing on the first Wednesday of every month at 5:30. So our first meeting will be that would be tomorrow, considering that this show is, or today possibly, considering the show is airing on Tuesday morning. Is that right, Phil? It's Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll be airing on Tuesday. As always, this is a good time to remind people that things can change from the time of the recording to the day of broadcast. So do check back for current information on people's events, websites, and such.
Yeah. And actually, just a correction, our meetings will be on Wednesdays, the first Wednesday of every month at Matchwood Brewing at 5:30.
So this is a really nice segue into the idea that outdoor recreation in general, I think we're finding from most of the experts, is one of the least risky activities. It's the facilities are carpooling. And for those folks locally who want to recreate, we have some great opportunities. And what a nice thing to live in an area that we have those. The real potential risk is longer term. These things are attractions for guests coming from other places around the country or region that could potentially be bringing in the COVID with them. And so in that vein, going forward, the COVID crisis is likely to continue to impact events. You mentioned your summer camps, and we want to get to a couple of the other events that our other guests are involved in. How is the club responding to the pandemic in terms of the way it's approaching those kinds of events that would draw people who aren't club members, who are tourists, let's say?
Yeah, and anybody who's spent time in Pine Street Woods or the Sherwood Forest Trail Network, or more recently in the Lower Basin Trails off of Schweitzer Mountain Road, which is a network of trails that the peddlers have built and still maintain, you can't help but notice a large percentage of the license plates in those trailheads are all from Washington, Montana, Oregon, especially, often even as far as California. Not so many from Canada anymore. But yeah, we have pushed some of our events, such as Basin Fest, which was supposed to happen this weekend. That's been pushed back to September. That's a trail festival where we build and ride and we work on trail maintenance in the Lower Basin below the roundabout at Schweitzer. We've also, I think Charles would probably talk a little bit about the 3/4 mile cycle tour, which is a fundraiser for POP. That's been pushed back to August as well. And our hope is that the situation by August and September is in Idaho is such that those sorts of events will be not only allowed, but we can all feel safe when they happen, even though they do draw out of state people. But I'm also confident that if the conditions change, we will have new guidelines. And I think we're all just ready and prepared to have to postpone or cancel events that might be, attract people from far and wide who are coming from places that might not be as clear of the virus as we are.
Sure. So let's move on to talking about the rescheduling of the Chafe. Mel Dick, why don't you let us know what's going to be happening with that and how you're going to be sure that folks who come to do that race will be safe and feeling like they're in good hands when they come to Sandpoint.
Yeah, the Chafe has historically been held on the third Saturday of June. So this year's ride was scheduled for June 20th. We've postponed it to September 12th. In prior years, we've had multiple routes ranging from 150, 100, 80, 40, 25 in a family fun ride. We're kind of going back to the original roots of Chafe this year. We're only going to have a 150-mile ride, which is a route that starts in Sandpoint. It'll start at City Beach. It'll go up to Bonner's Ferry, over into Troy, Montana, down the Bull River Valley, and then back into Sandpoint along the lake. We also have what's called the Half Chafe, or an 80-mile route, where you start with breakfast in Sandpoint, you get bussed over to Troy, Montana with your bike, and then you ride back on the second half of the 150 route. The reason we cut the routes back is we think it's going to be much easier for us to have social distancing with that short, with only two routes. Last year we had over 500 riders that rode in all of those different routes. This year, my anticipation will be somewhere 200 rider range. We're probably about 180 or so registered riders before we postponed the ride. You know, one of the things, you know, Herbert talked about what they've done at social distancing, and Jason talked about that. You know, when you ride a bike on a road, many people ride in pace lines. And so you're literally riding 3 inches away from the wheel in front of you or the wheel behind you. We're going to have to make some adjustments on that, or at least ask riders to ride socially acceptable and distant from each other, because as I understand it, one of the ways it can be contracted, COVID can be contracted, is if somebody's sneezing, coughing, somebody is, you know, somehow doing that. So I think that's going to be a challenge for us. But again, the 150-mile riders and the 80-mile riders tend to spread out pretty good. You will see some packs of riders that will ride in pace lines. We would hope those would be limited to people that basically know each other. And again, my internet connection looks like unstable, so hopefully you can continue to hear me. We're going to have to make sure we do appropriate social distancing at our major rest stops as well.
Thank you, Mel. That's we're hopeful that by September we're going to be in the clear to be able to continue to do things like that. And, Charles, the minus 3/4 cycle tour plans, how is this impacting?
Yes, so this is the second year for that event. It's a gravel ride, mixed surface pavement, dirt roads, and this year the long course. We have two courses. It's a 72-miler and a 52-miler. The 72-miler will also run through Pine Street Woods, so we'll have single track pavement and gravel roads on that route. We were scheduled to have it the first weekend in May, and we've rescheduled to August 23rd, which is a Sunday. Typically, these kinds of rides are done in the spring, kind of early in the season before people have had time to train and when the weather is potentially bad. But this year, we will be in the middle of summer. So we are in the process of planning for that now. We haven't really settled on any official social distancing rules yet, but we will have those in place in terms of trying to keep people safe and healthy while they're riding. We're looking forward to it. Last year was our first year. We had 128 riders. This year we hope to grow that a little bit. And it's a good ride for people who are going to do the chafe. It's a good training ride for people who are going to do the chafe. Last year, I think we were about a month and a half ahead of you guys. And this year we'll be, it sounds like maybe about 3 weeks or so before the chafe. So it'll be a good training ride for that.
Okay.
And, it's a fun ride.
Well, we're getting close to when we need to wrap things up here. Before we go, some resources for listeners to find out more about activities and events, websites or contact numbers or places to go. And maybe we'll start with Jason. You might be able to give us a good overview, and then Mel and Charles can chime in, and Herbert.
Sure. As far as Pondere Peddler's activities, we keep our website up to date pretty well as social media. So if you're on Facebook, we have all of our group rides, trail work parties, club meetings are all events that you can RSVP to via Facebook, or we just have a calendar posted on our website with those events. I also encourage people to sign up for our newsletter. There's a place you can do that right on the website. And if you want to support trails in and around Sandpoint, not just mountain biking trails, we do a lot of the trails that have been mentioned here today by the hikers as well. A membership with the Pondere Peddlers is always a great idea. So that's something you can get on our website as well. So PondereyPedalers.org, and that's spelled like the lake, not the town, and Facebook. And also we recently started an Instagram account, and I keep that pretty up to date. If you like to see pictures of freshly built single track trails, that's what you can find in our Instagram.
Who doesn't? Mel, to keep abreast of developments with the Chafe 150?
Yeah, you can get on our website, which is chafe150.org, or you can also go to our Facebook page, which is also Chafe150. And we'll keep everyone abreast there. For those that you mentioned the Wackenide ride before, if you're interested in doing a 6-day tour over the International Selkirk Loop, you can also go to Wackenide, which is spelled WACANID.org, and visit the website there. That's a ride that takes place in September 14th through, I believe, the 21st of this year.
And Charles?
So information about the 3/4 minus, you can go to the Syringa Cyclery website, which is syringacyclery.com. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. So we will be updating all those as we move closer to the date. Registration is open and has been open since the beginning of March. So people who want to register can go on and register through the website. I would also like to mention that, you know, in the past we've had the cyclocross race at the U of I. Jason and I recently toured a potential new venue that we won't be doing this year, but starting next year, we're pretty excited about that. We're going to turn it into, it's going to be a Pondere Peddlers sponsored event. So stay tuned for more info on that in the months to come.
Hey, excellent. Jason, looks like you have one last thing to chime in with here.
Yeah, one thing I just wanted listeners to be aware of, we are hosting for the first time 2 weeks of youth mountain bike camps in the club. And while our lower age group, the 7 to 10-year-old camp, is already fully booked, we have quite a few openings in the older, the camp for the older kids, which is, there's a bit of overlap. So the older camp is for 9 to 12-year-olds. And we currently have about 17 or 15 spots open in that. And we would love to have more Sandpoint local kids participating in our youth mountain bike camp. We have some great instructors lined up, and we have venues that we're able to use for that camp, including Schweitzer Mountain and Pine Street Woods. So we would really love to have welcome some new families into the Pondere Peddlers community. And that might be a good entry point, especially if you have a 9 to 12-year-old who's into mountain biking, already has some pretty good skills, but perhaps wants to bring those skills up to the next level. And that registration for that is also on our website.
Okay. Thank you. And that brings me to a question, even though we're toward the end, and we're obviously interviewing cyclists that are specialized and very advanced in your careers of bicycling, but I'm going to go to Charles Mortensen with this. Charles, what about kids or grown-ups who just want to get into biking? What's a good way to start with that? You're at Syringa, so you must have that question nearly every day.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the type of biking. I would say a good place to start for a mountain biker would be Pine Street Woods. There's a couple, you know, the butterfly loop, I'm thinking, Jason, is a very easy loop that, and there's also some wide trails that people could ride on, the trails that are the Nordic ski trails in the winter. You know, there's some hills, some climbing, some descending, but it's pretty smooth, and that's a good place to sort of practice your skills if you're a beginner, whether you're a youth or an adult. For road riding, I would say, you know, ride, try to stay away from traffic as much as possible. Maybe get onto some of the back roads, even the gravel roads in the Selly Valley or somewhere. I don't know, what else? Flat road?
Well, those are, Yeah, good starting points for people, and they have to have a little equipment, also. Of course.
All right. Well, we're needing to wrap up the time. Herbert, take us out with thoughts on how hikers can stay engaged with the Monday Hikers and Idaho Trails Association.
Yeah, sure. Full, be glad to. So, you know, as I mentioned with the Idaho Trails Association, the easiest thing to do there is just go to our website at idahotrailsassociation.org and publish a lot of information there. You know, Phil, obviously, your organization, the Friends of Scotchman's Peak Wilderness, have, you know, a number of activities and a number of guided hikes during the season as well. That's a good resource. Kinnexu Land Trust, you know, a number of us have talked about Pine Street Woods and great opportunities for kids and summer camps and educational opportunities up there. And yeah, and in terms of the Sandpoint Monday hikers, you know, the easiest way to see what's happening there is to go to or join our Facebook page, and we publish every week you know, the upcoming hikes in that area. So I'll hand it back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us today. This has been a great conversation. I think we've filled most of the hour, and as things progress through the season, we might have to revisit all of these things later in the summer. What do you think, Julie?
I think so. I want to thank you all for joining us for the morning show, Community Conversations. And for those of you who joined midway, you've heard local hiker Herbert Klein of the Monday Hikers and Idaho Trails Association. We heard from Mel Dick, representing Chafe 150, Charles Mortensen talking to us about the 3/4 minus cycle tour, and finally Jason Welker, the newest addition as executive director of the Pondre Peddlers. Thank you all for joining us. This has been a recorded conversation here at KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. Thank you all for joining us.